Whoa. Hang tight, pal. Things are about to get bumpy.
Reducing thrust to 25%.
Deploy the aft drift fins and maintain course.
Aft drift fins are engaged. Holding steady.
Stabilize the mini-fridge and reduce agitation.
Mini-fridge stabilized. Beverages secured.
You're ready to go full drift. She's gonna buck.
Hot stick. We got a hot stick here.
And 3, 2, 1. Whew. Good job, old girl.
We've landed safely on the aether waves. We're drifting easy now.
Oh, hot damn it. I can't wait to hit port and restock. If I have to eat the hydrated soup packets one more time, I swear I'm going to turn into a salt elemental.
Especially since we've been out of hot water. But I like the crunchy noodles.
This time will be different. We're not just going to snag a bunch of snacks. No freeze-dried corn steaks or dragon-shaped chicken nuggets. I'm thinking fresh produce, microgreens, fish, clean drinking water, things that don't give you diarrhea. And speaking of hot water, I need you to keep us out of it. Keep a low profile and don't cause a ruckus. We need food, not problems.
I hate to burst your bubble, Conrad, but I don't think we're doing any shopping anytime soon.
Do not tell me you blew our nest egg on another radio scam.
Negative, Con. If I can avert your attention to the starboard bow...
Sweet motherless dream weasels, is that a...
Not a capital ship.
Oh, nuts. Oh, tits. It's too late to go stealth. Fuck it, let's rab it. If we jump now, there's no way they'll catch us.
Are you fucking kidding me? We emptied the tanks just getting here. We've got communication and a few hours of coast time before we're dead ducks in the pond.
Well, this is it. This is how we die. They're gonna take us in, strap us down, and use their skull needles and the truth drugs to strip our brains like a pair of nightclub fishnets.
They're hailing us for communications. Should I send them some Firbolg Doom metal? Give them the old spookin' shred?
Negative. It's time to pay the piper and moisten our lips to receive their aforementioned powerful pipe. Open comms. And do not say anything. I'll handle this.
Attention, Aethercraft. This is United Nordite Barony ship Jarrett. You have entered Barony space. Please supply your craft registration number and mercantile license.
Hey there, boy howdy. You sure gave us a scare. We're real delighted to be back in Nod space. We love it here. We're looking to get some fuel and restock our barren larder. And might I just say, your destructive arsenal is looking particularly well-maintained on this fine evening.
Your aethercraft is using an outdated fuel converter in direct violation of the Nidrosili Weave Protection Act. You're dragging void, gentlemen. Supply your registration number immediately, or you will be taken into custody.
You got it, amigo. Registration number, see here, the old, Registario. I don't suppose you accept my Cost Coast membership card. And just kidding.
Ask him to blast the horn.
Shut all the hells up, Dex. I know we had a spoofed identification number somewhere.
It's mounted on the wall here, Con.
When did you put the fake one up? Hey, whatever, doesn't matter. Hi there, yeah. Registration number. Not that you're talking about my personal number. Never mind. Anyway, it's 201-210-10864.
Blast the horn!
You little bastard!
Stand by.
Yes, sir. Cripes on ice, we're done for. This is it. We're in the system now.
It's a registration number. We're already in the system.
I got pins and needles all up and down my entire butt. I'm scared, Dex. Big Brother's tugging my leash and I was meant to run free. I think I'm gonna have to take some time out of my schedule to have a panic attack.
Relax, they're just doing their job. And they're right, this piece of shit is far from up to code. Yeah, we might get a fine or something, but they don't give a honk about a little radio dinghy like us.
Attention, Aethercraft. Your provided registration number does not match that of your core housing. In addition, your actual registration number is expired. Flight with expired registration is against Tillywick Barony law. Bearing fraudulent registration is a violation of League Aetheritime law. And a craft matching your description was last seen outside broadcast station Telluride, casting a signal interrupt. You are under arrest for the aforementioned violations and under suspicion of piracy. Issue a core shutdown and submit to search and seizure, or we will be forced to open fire.
No. No, that's where I draw the line. You would mount cannons against a pair of humble troubadours over some bureaucratic whoopsie-daisy? Has the proud barony of Tillywick fallen so far into disrepute that they would strike at those who bring the news of the void? Has the Fifth Estate become just another fief for the gentry to exploit? If I do not stand down, sir, I may die, but I ask you, how will you live? With yourselves.
What the hell? Is that Khan and Dex?
What are you talking about?
You know, that dumb radio show. Reality Checks with Khan and Dex. They're total nut jobs. It's hilarious. They play the worst music and talk about harebrained conspiracy theories and yell at each other. It's brilliant.
Harebrained? I'll have you know that the parasitic noggin nematodes of the Outer Rim have finally reached the central cluster. So next time you see some fair Canish maiden whose flaxen hair seems to bounce and sway in some unseen breeze, believe me, gentlemen, she is, in fact, too good to be true.
Yep, that's us. Dex and Khan bringing you news from the void you can't avoid.
Yeah! Come on, man. Let's let them get to port and fix up their shitty wagon. We can't punish them more than life already has.
Fine. Proceed immediately to the nearest port and pay your registration fees.
Of course. It wouldn't be a techno-barony without taxation. Squeezing the nipples of every Rick, Dick, and Tony for the very last drop of their hard-earned...
Now give us a horn blast!
Dick, shut up!
Hells yeah!
Right. Looks like all of our funds are going for repairs and legal fees. And a new pair of pants.
Sweet! More Draco nuggies and soup bricks!
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You've been following the light through the lush, bizarre jungle in the heart of the frost-capped mountains. A pulsing, radiant pink that warms and warns, changes as it guides. The trees teeming with life, the vines crawling like serpents erected on shadowed branches. You hear creatures. You smell insects. You hear wells of water deep below the earth. But it does not approach, and the further you get in, the darker the greens become, with each step towards midnight. For most of the day, you cut and traverse thick jungle growth, sweating and pushing on as the light grows brighter. And then, the land ends, open like a wound, warm and sour and festering like torn skin. A crater in the heart of the jungle, both burned and wilted. The tall trees seem to peer in curiously, their roots reaching far, hoping to touch the truth of the center of it, and dying with every inch. The mouths of large caves stand exposed by massive impact, some caved in, and some dark and looming. And there at the center of the crater is a smoldering pit, beyond the exposed earth itself, deep and radiating power, pulsing skyward with pink light. Of the primordial core.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what the sagas are written about. This is my first chapter.
Let's make sure it's not your last chapter.
That would be a terrible book, wouldn't it?
From the distant caves of the crater, the clattering of wood and the sharp dragging of spears on stone step into sunlight. Beasts of twisting twigs, rotted wood and dark vines shaped like men, lost without a path to guide them. Claws sharp with jungle briars. Their eyes reflect the light pink of the engine. Once made to guard the land, sow the seed and walk amongst nature itself as part of it, now twisted and confused by the energy flooding their home with unknown power, driving them to violence. Violence they are clearly eager to share with you. Let's roll initiative.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Yeah, let's share some violence.
Did anyone get above a 20? Did anyone get above a 15?
19.
Did anyone get between a 10 and 15?
Yes. 11.
I'll race you to the bottom, Angela.
Did anyone get between a 5 and a 10?
I'll top you.
8. 9.
Hey. Got him.
As the twisted, woven warriors climb out from the caves of the crater, the initiative begins with Litabag.
Lita has been primed for self-defense since the moment they walked into this forest. And as she maneuvers into a more advantageous position, she feeds an iron rod into the back of her gauntlet.
It moans pleasurably.
A set of steel jaws inside clip off the front end of the rod. Sorry.
That's an artificer briss.
An artificer.
I was going to say it.
A set of steel jaws inside the gauntlet severs a piece of the rod and drops it into another portion where it begins to heat up, turning red, turning orange, becoming molten. And then as she points her arm at one of these creatures, she fires a molten slag from her gauntlet.
All right, roll me an attack check versus one of the creatures.
4 plus 5 is 9.
As the smoldering slug of hot plasma fires from the tip of your gauntlet, it illuminates one of the caves behind the creature as its body seems to part and create space where the weapon would have struck it.
Ah! Iris! Activate protocol Goblin Hello! The aperture around Iris's eye begins to glow red.
Anything else?
Lita and Iris maneuver along the root wall.
All right, next in the initiative, we have Fo Kithkin.
Fo doesn't know what he's dealing with yet, but he does know how to deal with most enemies. He reaches into his pouch and he pulls out a handful of jagged, sharpened coins. He lifts them into the air and then throws them at them in the form of an eldritch blast. They shoot forward with arcane energy behind them and begin to lacerate whatever they land on.
All right, let's see that spell attack bonus.
Boo!
That's a 3, motherfucker!
Plus 5.
Whoa.
Nice.
Foe.
The handful of coins falls short, exploding the ground in front of this woven's feet. Its eyes flash with the pink of the gem. And that makes it their turn.
I'm gonna move.
And that makes it your movement turn.
Okay. As the coins clatter uselessly against the ground, he's just gonna go, fuck. And immediately start running towards Queens West, trying to get a flank on.
Love that. Queens West is back, baby.
Never left.
Keeping it for another season, and I'm glad. That brings us to the Blightwoven. The Blightwoven lurch forward, and though their limbs don't seem well accustomed to one foot in front of the other, their speed is terrifying. Long barbed blades appear at their fingertips and grow from their wrists. They cannot close the gap between their caves and these outsiders. But as they lift their hands up in a desperate gesture, sharp wooden barbs fire out as though launched from a crossbow. This is going to be one thorn barrage coming in at Fo Kithkin. I need you to make me a dexterity save.
Hot Douglas.
Douglas.
19 plus 2.
Wonderful. You only take half damage.
Keep his name out of your mouth.
2 piercing damage from the successful dexterity save. We're going to have 2 coming in, 1 at Lita and 1 at Iris. I need you and Iris to both roll me a dex save versus the barrage.
Lita Bag gets a nat 1.
Ooh.
Iris also gets a nat 1.
Oh!
Wow.
Rough.
That
Good
is
gravy.
Nature is not your favorite terrain. This is no garbage.
You are going back in the dice box. Yes, you are.
You bring the trash into the forest.
And into your dice rolls.
Put it in the coffee cup.
So you are going to take 4 piercing damage and Iris will take 3. And there is one more barrage coming in at both Gidgel and Daralu. So dex saves from a boys.
20 for Gidgel.
Half of that for Darlu, 10.
All right. So you are going to take half for a total of 1 point of piercing damage.
Yes.
That's all of my life.
And you take full with 6 points of piercing damage. Oh, how the D4s give and take.
I'm at half health.
And as they end their turn and movement, you hear a grinding from deep within the caves behind them. That brings us to Darlu.
Oh, look, crew. They're going easy on us, especially you. You're fucking around. I'm going to point at the one that is closest to foe, and I am going to cast Vicious Mockery. Okay. Will it make me a wisdom saving throw, please?
Well, it'll try. Try as it do. 19.
It tried and succeeded.
It is resilient wood against your sour words.
Hired outsides. Fine. Hey, Gadriel.
Yes, Captain.
You know the reason we strike at night?
Why?
So they don't know what to tell back when they get home after they're battered and bloodied. Go get them. I'm going to use Bardic Inspiration on you. Have a Bardic Inspiration die.
Hoobus, thank you.
And then I will move Queens East behind Lydda.
That brings us to Gidgel. You feel inspired by your captain's brave words of violence.
Foe, we have to protect the archers. Gidgel is going to charge and engage the group at Queens East to ward them off from Lydda and Darlu.
Go ahead and scoot yourself up. You already managed to put it in the right spot and then just flick it.
The dangles. So many dangles.
Got a lot of pods. His pods are pseudoing.
They're all going much further than the base of the mini. It's invading all the spaces.
You find yourself wedged in formation between two of these towering wood structures.
Gidgel did not bring much into this expedition, but the only weapon he does carry, he had in luggage. It was a segmented blunt pole arm. He has now reattached those into its form, standing at about 6 feet. He is then going to take the rounded cylindrical end down onto the crown of one of these woven.
All right, let's see that attack roll. Chopping down trees with a stick.
That is going to be a...
Do it. You have it. Use it.
It would have been a 9.
Ooh.
It is now a 13.
13.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to do 11 points of damage.
11 points of damage.
Right in the wood dick.
Splinters and shrapnel explode out as you take one of the arms off this creature. It tries to reform them, the new one weaker, smaller, part of its head now caved in and missing from the impact. It's attempting to rebuild itself, but you have taken far too much of its mass.
And you'd expect a plasmoid to be very flowy, conserve energy. That is not Gidgel. There is a lot of stomping, sharp movements, and as I take the dodge action with a bonus action using one key, my patient defense, it is more of what you'd expect somebody to do with a torch to scare away dogs in the night.
All right.
It's just, I am threatening you with a big blunted weapon. Yes. That is my turn.
I love it. You're taking the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man defense.
There you go.
From your mighty blow of your segmented staff, you trigger their ability, Woven Briars. If you are adjacent and hit them with a melee attack, you take 1 point of piercing damage.
Get pricked.
And that brings us back to the top of the initiative with Lydda Bag.
Lydda drops her arm and allows the back of her hand to brush against the woodsman's axe. Tiny clamps reach out from the gauntlet, grabbing onto the handle and integrating it into her armor. With a battle cry, she races forward and swings it at one of these creatures.
Very good. New axe, who dis? All right, charging forward with your newfound woodsman axe. Go ahead and roll me that attack roll. More of a hatchet, really, but sharp as get out.
19.
Ooh.
19 definitely hits the armor class of the Blightwoven. With this, you're going to deal me an extra 1d4 slashing damage due to the nature of its plant-killing magic.
8 points slashing.
Very good. You don't strike quite as high into the arms and crown of these beasts as your gelatinous friend. But boy, do you fuck up one of its legs. Something fierce.
Oh, I don't go for the top of the fridge. I go for the drawers. As Iris's aperture continues to glow, it burns brighter and then fires a bolt of plasma at the same creature.
All right.
8.
8 does not connect with the creature. It sees the burning light coming, and its fear of fire kicks in as it ducks out of the way.
Ah! Scan first, Iris! Scan first! Recalibrate!
After the unfortunate miss of your mechanical companion, that brings us to Fo Kithkin.
He reaches out with an arm that is rotted, as though weeks in the ground, and he says,
"Oh, the world's a grave. To make a foe of the dead is to invite death's hand."
And as he clenches his fist, he's going to cast Chill Touch on the throat of one of these dryads.
Okay. What am I rolling for that?
That is a ranged spell attack.
Very good.
That's a 4 plus 5.
Hey, okay. Same roll twice. Oh,
good.
Yes.
Fucking Astrum's too weak here. Can't do a goddamn thing.
I believe we've intimidated them enough. Start hitting.
Don't blame the Astrum when you can't perform, buddy.
Realizing that they're closing in and he doesn't really have much of a choice, he kind of holds up his arm, which you realize is now clad in not a shield, but what looks like an antique mirror.
Hmm.
I didn't know we had time to stop by your nans.
Very good. That brings us to the Woven. As some of you move to the far sides of the crater, your feet get tangled up in the roots from the trees above, realizing that this is some difficult terrain to move in. But as the Blight Woven move across them, they glide as naturally as over smooth stone. 2 on either side of the plasmoid turn their attention both to face him and bring down their wooden branches, enacting 2 branch lashes.
Disadvantage. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me. The first one bringing its branch lash down upon you. Does a 14 hit your armor class?
It does not. I parry with a lot of pole arm.
It tries to flail at you, but you outflail it with your counter flail.
You parry with Pectin.
The other one follows suit, imitating almost mirror-like the actions of its bramble ally. That's a fumble, baby.
Ooh!
Mm.
It impacts against your gel, expecting to slide through like some kind of just soft, viscous fluid. But you are firm and hard, and it shatters.
I'm a hard-boiled egg.
You are turgid.
You're thick as a summer sausage. But you harden the gel where it impacts, and it shatters its claws, losing a little bit of damage on its sharp fingies. One of the Blight Woven that seems to be circumnavigating the pit in the center of the crater comes towards Darulu, once again unleashing a volley of sharp brambles.
Not okay. That's more like it. That's an 18 on my dex save.
An excellent roll. Now that you know what to look for, you only take 3 points of piercing damage, dodging out of the way as my D4s hunger for your blood.
God, they really do.
And the final one looks down at this tiny little armor-clad green beast in front of it and attempts to kick you with its good leg. The one you didn't chop on up. A 14.
That does not get through.
There is a loud clang as it grossly underestimates the sturdiness of the thing it is kicking. And if a tree could wince in pain, it does. The last one that approaches foe, moving gracefully over the roots of the tree, tries to slam down at you with a lash. Does a 19 hit your armor class?
It does, even with the shield.
Mm-mm.
Yikes on bikes. How much does this do? I haven't hit with this one yet.
Cool, great.
You take 5 points of bludgeoning damage as it slams into you with a quarterstaff that is part of its very body.
Oof.
Just a reminder, I'm a caster, not a fighter.
And that brings us to Darulu.
Darulu's hurting, just like Foe. Hearing about how raids can turn on their heels and the scare tactics that my people can use to fend things back, Darulu puts Orgrir's horn up to his mouth and blows hard into it, expelling smoke up into the air and creating what seems to be a volley of burning arrows. Not using the physical force of the arrows themselves, but the idea of being singed and cooked by them, he's going to cast Bane on 3 of the Blightwoven.
Ooh, I'm assuming these 3 close to each other?
I am going to do the one that's coming toward me. Mm. I'm going to do the one that is on...
That was hurt by Gidgel?
Gigil's. Nope.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to do Gigil's Queen's East, and I'm going to do the one that is next to Lita.
Got it. The one coming at you rolls a one. The one next to Gigil has a total of 9.
Ooh.
These are wisdom save?
They are charisma, I believe.
Oh, even worse.
Bane? Yeah, charisma and Bane.
Then one gets a negative 2. And the last one gets a 10.
All right. All of them fail.
That's going to be much easier to track.
Then for my bonus action, I'm going to cast my gaze toward foe and say, "Fight like a cornered animal, you bastard." And I'm going to give him bardic inspiration.
Thank you.
Taking a few steps back, Darlu ends his turn.
That brings us to Gigil.
Gigil is going to attempt to wrap the segmented staff around this hurt woven and bring it in for a headbutt.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
That's going to be a 22 to hit.
Yes, very much. Very good, yes, much.
4-7 points of damage.
What remains of this creature's head you now reduce to shrapnel. It falls to the ground limp as its body seems to slowly ash over and decompose, aging like dried firewood.
I'm going to use the rest of my momentum from this headbutt crashing through this woven's crown and then bring in a scorpion kick into this adjacent woven.
Excellent. Show me that attack roll.
That is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
This is just a d4. I like that d4 better. That is going to be 6 points of damage.
Excellent. Your swift kick deals a great deal of damage to the would-be rib cage of fragile wood.
The would-be.
Nice.
But yeah, you get it ready for the stove by stoving it in.
That's a spicy pudding.
Once again, a grinding sound comes from the cave. There's a deep echoing roar, like dry wood snapping and thunder carrying over a forest canopy. And a lumbering beast emerges. Debris flying outward as the mouth of the cave is too small for this monster of wood and stone. Its mouth full of twisting sharp barbs of branch and root, empty blackness deep inside, and thrashing with the madness of corruption.
Oh, shite, a night deer.
Oh, fuck.
What the fuck?
Jesus. Oh, that is cool.
He's got little mushrooms on him.
Oh, I want it.
After this giant wood creature emerges from his cave, destroying it behind him, that brings us to Lita Bag.
Lita has been in her share of scraps. And as she pushes her foot down on this creature's injured leg, she shouts, "Time for the old goblin throat punch!" And brings the axe upwards into its groin.
Ooh. The goblin throat. Yes.
Be sure to wash your goblin throat.
12.
Is that with the plus one of the axe?
Yes.
Okay. Work check.
You were accounting for a dong they don't have.
Unfortunately, you barely miss. Your traditional throat punch encounters some form of meaty genital, usually at this juncture of the fight. But you find nothing here but a bird's nest that crumbles under the weight of the axe.
You didn't expect this dryad to have a micropenis.
Oh, weird. This is followed up by another plasma bolt from Iris.
Mmm. Beep boop.
Another 12.
Hot damn.
Boy, you're just dancing on the precipice of achieving success here. That brings us to the Blight Baron.
Oh.
I can't believe he beat out my 11.
Yeah, just barely. All right, the Blight Baron, proceeding with the momentum of tearing itself free from this small cave, charges forward, crumpling what's left of one of the Blight Woven under its massive bark hooves and slamming hard.
Really wish I spent that key point. Now.
Into Gigil. It's going to use Arboreal Trample.
Oh, no.
By attacking you with a hardwood slam, and if it succeeds, it has an extra bonus thing. Coming at you with an 11.
I'm not going to be hardwood slummed.
The thick, barky hoof slams into you, bouncing back the elasticity of your body, forcing its impact away. And that brings us to Fokithkin.
Realizing that there is a far greater threat than the weeny little dryad in front of me, I'm going to go ahead and cast Hexblade's Curse on the big boy.
Okay.
He says his prayer again.
Every sinner a farmer, and every sin is a weed. It cannot know what fruits they sow, nor tell the sin from seed.
As he says this, what little dream exists in the world begins to accumulate around the creature in a purple haze. His sickle begins to glow with that same light, but it's not the sickle he uses. He throws another handful of coins in the form of an eldritch blast.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get above a 4. That's an 8, which means I doubled my earlier one, but unfortunately, I have disadvantage. And that's a 2, so I cut it in half, averaging out to 2 4s.
Hey, look, no. You have Bardic Inspiration. You could make it a 10.
Ooh, I'm not going to do it.
Or a 3.
Unfortunately, the woven all up in your face gets part of his body blasted away as he seems to almost be shielding the Blight Baron from your magic.
Neat.
In what some call a dick move.
Yeah.
That makes it the woven's turn. The little ones, not the biggin.
Oh, thank God.
We're going to start at the very end with an attack at Littabug, who tried to fucking crotch this guy and failed.
Look, I didn't mean it.
That is a 9 versus your armor class.
Except I did.
Remember to subtract a d4 because it has bane. It missed already. But
still good to remember and get into practice of. It's coming down on you with hard fists, but they're just splintering as they hit the heavy armor that you're wearing. One of them that is next to Gidgel is going to attempt to attack with another -4 as he too has been baned, which is probably important because that was a good roll. So that's a 17 with the -3.
That is going to hit.
All right. Spicy log punch. 4 damage, bludgeoning style. This one is going to charge forward, trying to attack Darulu after piercing his allies with smoky horns of illusory vengeance with an 18.
Oh, yep. That's going to do it.
That's going to do it. 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
I have 1 health left.
Good.
I'm so proud of you.
And 1 final rake at foe. With a 9. I'm assuming that misses.
Yes. As it gnashes away, he just kind of puts his shield up against it, and you can see the little fog of its breath collecting on the mirror.
Oh, no. Next in the initiative is Darulu.
It might be time to regroup and readdress what's happening here. It looks like, you know, things are starting to turn against us a bit.
Darulu is going to reach up toward his horns and run it along the crystals that grow along the underside of it, collecting up some of that sparkling blue and running his fingers across his chest. He is going to cast Cure Wounds on himself.
That sounds like a great idea.
I agree. Ooh, I'm going to get 8 health back.
Noted. Would you like to move at all or remain where you are in this deadly dance of tree versus man?
I am going to have to stay put. And seeing is that Gidgel is in the most danger.
I think that's a fair assessment of this.
Darulu will shout out toward him. You know, this is a bit more figurative than literal, but shields up and spears out, you know.
I will be your shield.
I'm going to give you my last bardic inspiration. And that's my turn.
That brings us to Studio Gidgel.
Fights must be won one violent step at a time. I'm going to try and finish off this one woven next to me. First swooping low, and then hopefully bashing it down into the ground. And do nothing! That's a natural 20.
Jeez. That's a good way to do it. I mean, so show me that critical punch. That critty punch.
Gritty? Punch!
Let me find some reason why you have disadvantage so I can steal that victory from you.
Man, maybe the Black Baron.
Cast silvery barbs on him.
Ooh, man. That is going to be 10 points of damage.
Since that one has already taken some damage, your big wet Hadouken does in fact lay it low.
Hadouken.
A Hagoopin.
Hagoopin is fine and healthy and good. That is a good safe goo for all of us. For now.
I think that's kind of offensive to Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think that's fine. That's punching
we're
up.
Punching up, yeah. Yeah.
We're aiming right for the yoni egg. Who's next?
I've been tasked with holding you, and I will. I'm going to then use my one last key point to patiently defend myself, taking the dodge action as a bonus action.
Schmort. Very schmort. Because this big boy hit hard. From the top of the crater to the north, the trees part, and a shadow is flung into the crater. A figure in a long green cloak, with a wide-brimmed hat and wooden spear, landing stylishly
and standing slowly into a dramatic pose. But there is no face under his hat. It is in fact not a hat at all, but the wide cap of a mushroom, casting a shadow over his tiny, piercing eyes.
Hold and get ye gone from this place, Woven Brothers! Be not molested by the pink light of this sacred engine! For I am Sir Troth the Woven, Wilder Knight of Nidrasil, and Guardian of the Woven Circle. Be gone or taste my wrath!
This year's harvest seems different.
It is different.
The Brigling seeds are maturing more rapidly. Their gestation is almost 2 weeks earlier than last season.
Perhaps they're in a hurry to fly.
You think their will dictates their maturity?
And why shouldn't it?
They are sown ships, not animals, not creatures.
And yet you have no answer, nor do I. So I choose to believe in an unspoken eagerness to begin life.
You are a fool.
This has never been disputed.
Do you think it's magic?
I think everything is magic.
No, the Brigling's early harvest. Maybe the magic has changed.
Nature does like to change.
But what else may come of it?
Who knows? No need to worry about it. Let's just wait and see.
It frightens me, knowing how many of the newborn ships are sent off to be used as tools for corsairs, pirates, military. They're putting cores in them.
Yes, I heard about that.
They're not supposed to have cores in them.
And why not?
I don't know. It just feels wrong.
If they didn't want cores, they wouldn't accept cores. Let the ships decide who they fly for.
Murderers and criminals.
Most certainly.
Then why do we let them go?
Because they may also one day transport heroes, like the ones who planted these fields. Go and rest. I will finish today's pruning.
Yes, Father.
And listen not to the news of the outsiders. You have stopped listening to the song of the earth.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, all you cuties. You may have noticed that there's been a delay in the release of these episodes lately. We're still getting them out every fucking Monday, but these things happen. Just so you understand, it's because there's a lot going on and a lot of new things to process when it comes to these new seasons, and I hope you understand that I am going through an adjustment period. We hope you're enjoying the new season, and we hope to continue bringing it to you at the same standard of quality you've come to expect. Law and I are having a sit-down tomorrow after recording, and hopefully we should have some new ideas for the Patreon and formatting changes, but for now, I want to thank you all for your passion, dedication, patience, and I want to get you back to the action.
It's kind of hot out, and I'm a little bit thirsty. Oh well. Oh, fuck my whole ass!
Your thirst has summoned me, pathetic mortal. I have what you desire, human. I have that which will quench. That which will embolden and delight.
Oh, really? I mean, I'm probably okay.
Your thirst knows no equal.
Well, it has gotten pretty warm since this portal to hell opened.
Then hold forth your hand and receive that which you desire.
What is it?
It's a beer.
A beer?
A beer! Unlike any other. A beer infused in demonic flavors and forbidden concoctions of the underworld.
You know what? Beer does sound pretty good. Sure, let's give it a try.
You have opened the beer. Now your soul is mine.
Wait, you're a demon.
Yes.
Isn't it devils who trick people for their souls?
Don't read into it too much. Just drink.
Well, I guess I'm down a soul. Might as well enjoy my beer. Oh, fuck. Oh, sweet, merciful shit. It's horrible. It's so hot. Oh, I hate it.
It's demon beer, numbnuts.
Is this bits of glass in it?
They're tiny teeth.
Well, safe to say, this was not a very good transaction.
It's Infernale. It sucks ass, but it'll get you drunk as hell.
Infernale. It's not very good. A new figure has entered the madness of the crater combat. The core hums with light, surrounded by so much life, and the steady glowing pulse feels like the beating of a war drum, driving madness and violence into these once noble spirits of the land. On initiative 20, a layer action is activated. As the primordial core sends out a surge of energy, all woven within 60 feet may use their reaction to make a single melee attack.
Oh, no.
Oh, Gord.
Oh, no.
The one doing battle with foe is just out of the range of this pulsing light, but the others may all respond in kind.
Great. Another enemy?
Remember, they're both baned.
You got it. The one attacking Litabag misses real fucking bad. Thanks to the dice alone, it's a negative one without any modifiers. The one who is attempting to take the life of Darulu so fervidly despite you healing yourself.
Bring it on.
Rolls very good, but, well, that's actually a total of 19, even with the Bane.
I need to stop saying bring it on.
Maybe
that hits.
Maybe you should. 3 points of bludgeoning damage as you lashed.
Ouch.
Using its reaction as well, you're going to get a root stomp against you, Gigil. With a 9 to hit.
Drill with disadvantage.
I didn't.
Natural 1 me.
Bold of you to piss on my two and demand a lower roll. No, I rolled two ones with an 11. So it is still a two and it is still a miss. Your patient defense has paid off. And that brings us to the top of the initiative with Lita Bag.
Iris, quick. Protocol Bitch Stitch.
Tell me all about Protocol Bitch Stitch, please.
Iris flutters over to Daralu, scans him with a light on the bottom of the Smadron, and then begins administering medical aid.
Huh. Oh, don't worry. Everywhere hurts.
Oh, you're getting surgery lasers.
Aw.
Please take 8 hit points.
I fucking will, because that puts me to full.
Juicy.
Lita, you should be very proud of your child.
And then using nimble escape, I'm going to disengage as a bonus action and back the fuck up.
Very goblin-y.
And while she's at it, Lita will perform an old goblin maneuver, running past Gigil, so hopefully he picks up aggro.
It's like a game of tag. Tagro.
Back in the midden, they call it thumps in the dumps.
Nope.
I don't think they do.
Not that.
No, they do.
Very good. That brings us to the big boy's turn, his turn proper, which he is going to use in whole against Gigil.
I don't like that boy.
Is that an advantage?
No, he has two attacks, but he actually gets to not just use a reaction or a charge. So one of them will be a root stomp, and one will be a hardwood slam.
Which of those is scarier?
They're equally not great. This is the root stomp coming at you with a 14.
That is not going to hit.
And then the hardwood slam coming at you with a 13. Just couldn't deliver.
We're at the knife's edge.
Like,
I'm not healthy.
No. I am now, but.
Regardless, he misses you with both of his very voracious attacks.
So I'm going to raise my 3-segmented staff and use it to divert the energy. I'm getting kind of nailed into the ground, but I'm not taking any pain for it.
I like that.
Very defensive. And that brings us to the stranger on the battlefield, who has declared himself Sir Troth the Woven. With one hand, he lifts his spear up high and buries it into the ground. With the other, he moves his oak shield to his back, and then he leaps down into the smoldering pit at the center of the crater. And you hear him making struggling noises. That brings us to Fo Kithkin.
Beautiful.
We found a secret bathroom.
Where do you think it came from?
Well, drop a spirit bomb.
Have I ever told you this story about the man who wouldn't stop burning?
He raises his burned hand and crawling from the flesh, actual fireflies manifest. I'm going to cast infestation on this ornery little bastard.
What kind of saving throw is that? I'm sure you don't have it because I just gave
Constitution.
You the Constitution.
The
touche.
The touche.
That's a 12 total.
That does not pass. They are going to randomly move one of the four cardinal directions using you as north.
Yeah.
Northeast, southwest. He goes north towards me.
You're right in a corner, so there's only two real directions he could move.
Do you mind if I get a reroll on that then? He moves.
The gods have spoken.
Four.
That thing's loaded.
That's 4 fours, baby.
He's going north.
Okay.
Zach, that thing's loaded.
All right, audience, I want you to understand, in this entire time, every d20 roll I've made was either a 4, followed by an 8 and a 2, and then I just rolled 4 fucking 4s on a d4.
Brutal.
That's your angel number.
Ah!
I don't know what those do.
But you get to deal me some fire damage.
Yes, I do. I'm going to roll my eyeball die, because it just makes me feel better. It's a 2. 2 on the die, baby. Woo!
You deal to this creature 4 points of fire damage due to its vulnerability as every crevice and knot of its body is flooded with these red-hot insects emanating from your skin and crawling, eating through it. And it runs, screaming as only a tree can, slamming into the wall just north of you, trying to almost scramble up it desperately but only pulling out clods of dirt.
Unfortunately, my next move was going to be, hey, now that he's not next to me, I'm going to use a move, but I can't, so I'm still pinned to this jackass.
If you do try to move away, he will have disadvantage to attack you since he is actively trying to climb.
I do actively appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and take that risk and try and join the fray.
That's what we like to fucking see.
Does an 11 hit your armor
it
class?
It does not.
He gathers himself in the fury of your hot bugs just enough to try to turn and swing at you, but misses horribly.
Marvelous.
And after that, it is the Woven's turn. The one, not as foolish as many goblin foes may be, does not divert its attention to Gidgel, but continues its pursuit of Litabug. But rather than walking up and slamming you with its branches, it just furiously starts hurling volleys of thorns at you. Dex save, please.
That is a nat 20, no modifier.
Ooh!
Yeah! I like how you had to look at your sheet to tell me it was a natural 20. So you take half damage, which is one. Once again, the one in front of Darlu is going to continue playing you like a cello.
I hate that. It's baned.
It's baned. This one might actually make a difference.
It'd be relevant.
Does a 14 hit your armor class?
Yes!
Oh, no. Does it literally just hit your armor class?
No, my AC's 13.
Foe Kithkin chimes in with the curse of the spider's web.
Doesn't seem like much to control people. A lie here, a rumor there. But sooner or later, the webs you weave come back to you.
He's going to extend his web-covered hand, and the webs are going to wrap around the creature, and then dissipate and manifest on the weapon of Darlu.
Interesting. And how does this work for me?
I get to choose whether I'm going to have this boy re-roll and take the lower of the two rolls, and I get to give Darlu advantage on his next check.
Yay!
All right, then I will roll that again.
Uh-huh.
Was a 12.
Uh-huh.
And now it will be a 4.
Hey! Yay! I have passed on the curse of the 4!
You had to carry the curse!
It's the dice!
You've infiltrated the colony of the 4 and made it your own.
I love it. You have advantage on your next shit. This boy doesn't hit you.
Thank you.
As it lashes out again with its claw, it seems to stop in midair. And as the light changes, you realize thousands of thin gossamer threads hold its claw in place, inches from your face. You too feel them against your body, but bolstering you, not entangling you.
I'm rapidly changing my opinion on bugs.
And the one who is clamoring and climbing up the wall realizes that this is no time for fleeing, no time for fearing the bugs within. But a time for smacking some jerk-ass warlocks. He moves to you and attacks with a 15.
That does not hit. Thank God for the shield.
Right?
You hear his heavy footsteps coming from behind you, turning just in time to hear the loud scratching of wooden claws against flat mirrored surface. And that brings us to Darlu.
Get your shit together.
I'm not so much worried about my shit right now. More worried about Foe's shit. Foe, have some shit. I'm going to cast Healing Word on you.
Hey.
Ooh, yeah, for 7 HP back.
That's my full damage, baby.
That's the maximum amount of health I can give.
Would that be a 4?
That would be a 4.
Fucking, I'm just saying.
Crown of fours over here. Crown of thorns. Bolstered by Foe Kithkin's miraculous spiders. I'm going to draw my bow back and just shoot directly at the big thing. Oh, you must waiting to happen. Fuck off.
So you have the delicious merging of advantage and disadvantage, equating a normal ass roll.
Hey, yes, I do. I rolled a 4.
Ooh.
We're all forlorn at this point.
Oh my God.
Hey, Law, does an 8 hit its AC?
Nope.
I didn't fucking think so.
Somehow episode 3 is becoming episode 4.
Here, take your bardic inspiration.
Oh, okay.
The name of episode 3 should be 4.
Episode 4.
Episode 4.
May the 4 be with you.
My goodness. 4 on the floor.
Oi, tree. Give me some room to shoot. My turn's over.
But Gidgel's turn is now.
I don't think I can hold him much longer. Hopefully, I have contributed to our victory. I'm just going to take the dodge action.
Okay.
I have no more key, hardly any health left. I engage my polearm and wrap it around one of the Blight Baron's arms.
Your dukes are up in full defensive form.
The dukes are against the Baron. Yes.
The dukes are the Barons.
The dukes are rebelling against the Baron.
All right. That brings us to Lita.
Is he wiggling?
I'd call it more jiggling.
I don't wiggle or jiggle. I try not to.
At initiative 20, the core pulses with light, and all woven within 60 feet may use their reaction to make a single attack, which is now all of them.
I'm glad I could move just close enough for this thing to hit me again.
Starting, well, this one can only make a melee attack, so he's SOL. The one on Daralu.
Has Bane.
Has Bane. Still Baned.
What a has Bane.
Has not been unbaned. That is a 14.
That hits.
God damn.
For 5 points of bludgeoning damage.
I'll take it and I retain concentration.
The one on foe.
Yas.
That's a 21.
That'll hit.
Oh, 20 nuts.
Total, sorry. 3 points of bludgeoning damage to foe.
No.
And then the Blight Baron is going to bring down a massive stompy foot on top of the defensive Gidgel with disadvantage, which is a 13.
Once again, I stiffen myself into,
Get that hard jelly.
Describe it slower.
I get so stiff. So hard.
I go from tender toothpaste to hard cock.
My tube is about to burst, but I hold it in.
I hate tender toothpaste.
Gidgel is going to strike a defensive pose in a diagonal stance, taking the force and allowing it to run off him.
Mm. Like water off a duck's back. After initiative 20 is Lita.
A ding comes from Lita's gauntlet.
Bread's ready?
Oh, great. More slag. She points the gauntlet towards the creature attacking Daralu and blasts it with molten slag.
Slag me up.
Let's call this Slagport. That's a 22.
That hits. For real, real.
Not for play, play.
And please, this is Firebolt.
Yes.
Double that damage.
Yeah!
5 times 2 is 10.
The Blightwoven crumbles to cinders as your slag blasts a big fat orifice right in its midsection and spreads its way out. Anything on your movement action?
Oh, thank you, Lita.
Don't thank me yet. I'm taking part of your share. I'm not going to move, but Iris is going to fire at this other boy that is chasing me.
Mm. The other boy, lad. The Treeman.
Dripping with Treeman.
Covered with Treeman.
The sap wet Treeman.
That's what pollen is. It's just Treeman.
It's true.
That is an 18.
18 hits with your eye laser beam. What kind of attack is this? I don't think we've actually hit with this yet.
We have not, and I rolled a 1. So that makes it 3 points force damage, baby.
Woo!
Force damage. Very cool. Iris blasts out, shooting a good chunk of tree off of this creature before it gets closer to you, weakening with every step. And that brings us to the big boy. He will start with a root stomp against the defensive Gidgel. That's a 2 on the dice.
Hey.
Followed by a 17. So a big miss. He cannot use his charge to attack anyone else, so he's just going to use his hardwood slam against you in your defensive stance. No, sir. A 9 will not do.
Oh, my God.
Was that a 4 on the die?
It was a 4. Yes. There is, for the audience, more 4s.
Now you're just looking for 4s all over.
I am, baby.
Everybody, look, there's 4s.
I'm a numerologist now.
All 5 of us have 4 heads.
Against all odds, Gidgel is defending and holding his own against this towering colossus of stone and earth. And then from deep in the crater, you hear the sound of dirt falling, stone being shoved aside, and crystal grinding against rock. As the light gets brighter, and you see this strange mushroom figure forcing his way up out of the hole, using his legs against the side of the walls, pushing, yanking, and he holds the heart above his head as the primordial core glows in his hands. And he says, "Liberate yourselves from the curse of this engine, brothers! Flee now before these outsiders fell you to nothing!" And as it's uprooted from the earth, you can see the color of the roots in the ground begin to change, slowly fade back to their natural browns and greens. And the creatures remain confused, but their aggression is now replaced with uncertainty. The engine is still close. Its power befuddles them and taints their cause. But the violence is leaving them. Next in the initiative, we have Foe Kithkin.
Realizing that this core might be exactly what's plaguing these creatures, Foe is not going to try and do any more harm. Instead, he's going to try and manifest a minor illusion over towards the edge of this clearing in the form of basically another scarier version of himself.
A sexy female tree with a pink bow in its hair. Go ahead and roll me an Arcana check to see how well you manifest this false facsimile of Foe.
Can I use religion, as that is more closely tied in with what he's doing?
Spell casting
boy. That is a 17 plus 3.
It's Foe, but spelled A-U-X.
All right. You have manifested a not you, lurking in the shadows of the crater, eyes burning with cursed energy, seeming to pull things towards it, threateningly.
Come and get me. Over here now.
And that brings us to the Woven. The one pulls its arm back, ready to shoot more bramble at Lydda, then looking at its own arm in confusion, and it kind of hangs limp as though no one is controlling it. It stands looking down at the ground, the dead Woven at its feet, up at the Woven Baron, and then it simply collapses into lumber. The one behind Foe falls prey to the illusion, seeking answers in the violence it still clings to, moving and starting to dig, digging into the earth deeper and deeper, hungrily, where the shadow was. Darulu.
Darulu takes the Horn of Orgrier into his mouth again, covering up the outside as much as possible to try to block the sound, but lets smoke out, as he too casts minor illusion on the illusion of Foe, spelling across his chest and torso in Sylvan, "I hate trees."
I was going to have him with an axe, but I thought that would be too much. I'm glad you went a subtler route.
Fuck these guys.
Go ahead and make me a deception check.
I will. I got a 16 total.
It's a very convincing sandwich board wearing Foe.
With that, I'm going to lean over to Lydda and say, "You think it'll get him?"
"I don't know. What does it say?"
"Don't worry about it. We'll do lessons later. Keep your rigidity up, friend."
"Like hell we will."
I'm going to use healing word on Gigil. For minimum health, have 4 health back.
Doubling my health.
Do you get your spells back on a short rest?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I used all of my abilities today.
Oh, boy.
And that brings us to the end of the initiative with Gigil.
I would like to take the dodge action, but if you'd allow me, since I have my section staff around one of its limbs, in what would look like a grapple, but is more of like helping an elderly person upstairs, I would like to guide the Blight Baron past the crater with perhaps an insight check.
Let's do a Wisdom Athletics.
Wisdom Athletics? Love it.
I feel pretty good about it, too.
That is going to be a 10 total.
You have my bardic inspiration.
That is going to be a 14.
A pretty good attempt. This creature, you think its natural state is to enroot itself to the ground, to weave itself into the dirt and remain perfectly still. And that is the impulse it is fighting. And as you try to guide it and pull it away, it only adds more confusion to its nature.
"There's a lovely grove just a few paces from here for you to lay."
At the end of your turn, we will end the initiative, enter more of a roleplay phase. Sir Troth holds the core above his head and says,
"We must take this away from this place. But who are you, and what are you doing in this sacred jungle?"
"We're the fuckers who were sent to take that thing out of here."
"To take the heart?"
"Oh, we'd be happy to take it off your hands.
And anything else you don't want."
"Oak Singer sent us."
"Oak Singer. This name summons memories. But that is beside the point."
He grabs his spear in one hand and holds the core under the other. "Onward!" And charges out of the crater, leaping boldly over the pit and moving far more dramatically than would be necessary.
"I like this guy. He's motivated. Gigil, is he a cousin of yours?"
"I believe we reproduce very differently."
That's not what I asked. Let's get the hell out.
It's all seeds, top to bottom.
Slimes and fungus aren't the same thing, mate.
As Foe makes his way out, he pats the one that's digging into the ground on the back and says,
"We'll get him soon enough."
He keeps digging. Once you make some distance from the crater, the light from the core still seems to pull the pigment from the trees nearby, but no longer corrupting the woven that were underground and uncovered by the impact. And as Troth turns around to face you, he seems uncertain, defensive, caution in his pale white eyes. Spear point not facing you, but skyward, between you and the core.
Hey, buddy. I'll take that off your hands.
Can you even lift it?
Oh, you bet I can.
Intriguing gauntlets.
Why doesn't this hurt you? They all seem to be driven mad by it, but you seem fine.
They are of the old woven, and I am of the new woven. Magics past those of the four sowers.
None of the shared knowledge involved the new woven. Tell me more.
This is not the time for my lineage, though proud of it I may be, and many tales I can tell of its greatness. Why did you seek the core? What purpose do you have for this noble thing?
We're here from the League. We're here to put it in our ship and get it as far away from here as possible. We understand from the elders and the leaders of the nearby... Oh, what was his name again? The big moving thing.
Polyphemus.
Thank you. From the nearby Polyphemus, that this has been causing a great amount of trouble. We don't want it to plague or damage your people any longer, or them people any longer. So the faster it can get away from here, the better off for you.
You speak names that sound like those of the Woven Circle, but long have I been separated from their kind, sent out into the wilderness to do my good. Their names forgotten to me, their faces shadows of the past.
They don't all know each other. It's a bit insensitive, lad.
Something about this makes you feel like they purposefully sent him as far away as possible.
He said he was from that circle. An educated guess. Look, we'll take you back. We'll have them vouch for our word. Is that fine enough?
You wish to give wings to the heart.
Yeah.
He looks up to the sky, the beautiful blue above the jungle canopy. Then the heart will be yours. A noble quest you have accomplished, but know this, outsiders. For where it goes, Sir Troth will follow.
I surmise that I shall not complete my ninth decade. The previous arboreal assassins were dangerous but fragile. This blight of prodigious size appears to be anything but. My hope is that the sequestered musings in these relics will safely journey to the debating peaks of Tabia Seru and be presented for consideration. My companions all wish in one way or another to be remembered, to leave a legacy. This shared ambition may very well be the catalyzing force of this ensemble. The Nidrasili, it seems, concern themselves not with the past unless it relates to an unresolved problem of the present. They will only remember a dark cloud for as long as it blocks the sun, and not a moment longer. And the dark clouds of Nod force them to look to the horizon, as we ourselves attempt to design generational harmony. Oh, it is imperative that I intercept the force of this strike before it gains momentum. The energy of that monstrosity could easily turn me to vapor if it were to strike true. My force of will is waning. It is only a matter of time before I am overwhelmed. So, back to the important task. Nidrasil is bountiful, much like Tabia Seru. But they are not limited by the cyclical devastation and rebuilding we must endure. It is tactical and wise that they have formed this alliance with Nod, who make use of their limited natural resources so well. But their partnership is strained by their polarized philosophies. Currently, the intrinsic position our people have in this world would be diplomats and advisors. but I posit that eventually we will outgrow this usefulness as they learn to cooperate more and more. And as this life cycle nears an end, I thank the wardens for their consideration, and I cede the rest of my time.
We got a fungus in our bilge.
Is this we your need boy? A cream.
This is my boy. This will be the boy that I boy when Zach's boying.
I'm Ooh. Very excited about your boy. I'm very excited about Mushroom Man.
Hell yeah.
Boy, 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 boy.
Mushroom Man boy, Randy boy, Savage. Boy, boy, boy.
Man, he really went into that hole and just started making private grunting sounds, huh? Yep,
he was getting his grunt on.
He really was. It was a dirty grunty boy.
The grunt hole.
Why take the bad boys away from the stink box when you can take the stink box away from the bad boys?
And you know, that's how I was born.
That sure sounds like something a not tired person would say.
I really hope that Angelo can write the journal for this episode, because I think given the fact that you literally just stood there and fucking body blocked this goddamn monster.
Especially with like the cool monologue of what's going through his head while he's just like deflecting these giant attacks. Either that or a Troth journal entry, which seems silly.
True. Mm.
Like him seeking the core. But we know, who don't know?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's for tomorrow, creative boys, to think about.
Yeah.
So we're all gesturing at each other, confused and tired, bellies full of sandwich, itching to complete the recording. So let's do some Favey Momos.
Hell yeah.
We've started with Zach thus far. Let's go with Max.
I got to take the obvious one for me. And
we've started with Zach thus far. Let's begin with Max.
That would be Dana.
I'm just switching it up. I'm not going counterclockwise.
We got to go like it goes like this.
All right, everybody roll a d20. Mm. If only we had a way to randomize things.
Okay, the reason I'm starting with Max and going this way is to guarantee Angelo cannot steal it in any way.
My favorite Moma? My favorite Museum of Modern Art was Law having the fucking audacity to bust out layer actions on us on our very first encounter of the new season.
It was just a little guy.
Yeah, it was a little guy. Well, we're little guys.
Yeah, there's nothing serious or impressive about the idea of every enemy on the table getting an extra attack.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't terrifying at all.
Combats have layers.
I'm still I'm still unclenching.
My favorite thing 1000% is these miniatures.
They're so good.
The Trundle Snatch,
what
was he called?
Not Trundle Snatch.
I don't think it was even close to Trundle Snatch.
Single syllable comes close. Blight Baron.
I'm pretty sure you're going through your fan fiction in your own head. Like,
yeah. Anyway, it's fantastic, and y'all got to see these minis.
Fucking Thimble Snatch.
I cannot wait for the Trundle Snatch X fucking Gigil romance fanfic.
I guess my favorite moment is it's just the first combat of season three. Kind of. I'm not pulling any punches. You guys are professionals, so I'm going to throw some hard fights at you.
Hell yeah.
And while the dice went up and down many times, there was potential violence and zero hit points all over the place.
Look, the dice mostly stayed the same in the down position.
In the four region.
Definitely brings me to my favorite Momo, which is the curse of the fours. The idea that I got so many fucking fours and then immediately started passing them off to every other people. It was like the dice were role-playing for me, and I could not be happier with it.
Fuck it, Law. Put it in the game.
Put it in. The curse of four
three,
is down the road.
Four. Mm.
Favorite moment? Gotta be the anime entrance from Sir Troth.
I never want to like Mary Sue good. My do, but just it's just a cool anime.
Oh, no, if anybody has incurred enough debt, not debt, but credit to give themselves an anime entrance, it's you, Law.
You played an old man for 2 years.
If anybody has incurred enough credit card debt,
oh, that's me.
Oh, okay.
But no, he's really over the top with the things he does. He tries to be as dramatic as possible, and that's going to come up a lot.
God, beautiful. I love it.
Well, thank you all very much for listening to the first chapter of season three. Thank you so much to Brie Golden for this beautiful crater map.
It's
you did
gorgeous.
A great job. I really like getting to send you some mock-ups and see what you do with them. This has been super fun for me as an artistic collaboration. And thank you again, Hediger the Ediger. Your editing is top-notch. and you make all of our episodes from a wonderful pile of ingredients into a delicious entree. And until you return to the restaurant a la luck, I wish you luck.